The Payback. It was one of those sunny summer Sundays that beckons to people of all ages. As the boys' parents sipped their morning coffee on the patio, they were lulled into summer's arms by the lazy swishing sound of the water sprinklers. Helpless, they allowed themselves to be seduced into a rare moment of summer spontaneity. Cups left behind, they quickly arranged for the boy's older brother to watch over him, and they made a hasty retreat down the driveway into the awaiting day. They were off to the city, and they weren't sure when they'd be back. They directed their sons to have the sweet and sour ribs in the fridge for supper. As their mother blew them kisses from the open window of the car, the puzzled boys stood beside each other, waving mechanically. After a sustained pause, they turned and went indoors. The boy loved to tinker. In the family basement, he busied himself with a miniature pool table he had built from scraps of lumber. The little table was as level as he could make it. Green felt covered the solid 1-inch plywood that formed the base. A frame about 1.5 inches high, made from very thin wood, held the felt securely in place. Inside this frame were pieces of foam covered in strips of first-aid adhesive tape. This provided perfect banks. A series of holes drilled together allowed for the removal of a piece of the plywood base at each of the four corners, creating pockets. Doweling, measuring 3/8 of an inch in diameter, made a perfect pool cue for the half-inch marbles he used to make his shots. On this little table, he and his friends learned the principles of playing pool. The big brother polished his boots and the buttons on his cadet uniform. Then he went to the back deck to do some assigned reading. Some time before lunch, the doorbell rang. The boy and his brother heard it and approached from two directions. They noticed a jet-black Mercury four-door hardtop in the driveway. It sat shiny and proud in the sunlight, windows down and radio blaring. The boy recognized his brother's friends. They were planning to go to the lake and wanted the brother to go too. The boy's brother protested. He was in charge of the boy and couldn't leave home. The persuasion was followed by a good rebuttal, which was followed by another persuasion, and so it continued, like a table tennis game, punctuated with dramatic gestures. The boy suddenly remembered that the brother owed him the outing of his choice because of a past grievance. He burst into the conversation, excitedly informing everyone that he chose this outing as his payback. His brother could go to the lake. They would all go to the lake. The big brother's expression smoothly changed from an in-your-dreams roll of his eyes to a, well, maybe you've got something there, smile, and the simple solution became clear. The decision had been made. The big brother slid into the front seat. The boy rode in the back, behind the driver, and across the seat from the other friend. The windows were down, and the boys draped their arms casually on the doors, elbows slightly through the open windows, shirt sleeves billowing in the wind. They wore sunglasses and played the music too loud. Conversation was impossible and unnecessary. Each boy had his own personal thoughts. From behind the car, it would have been easy to see that one passenger could barely reach the open window. One head was barely visible over the rear seat. Still, the boy was sure he looked just like the older guys. The trip to the lake was uneventful. Summer's warm winds whistled and roared through the open windows, making the hip parade barely audible. As they pulled onto the winding, bumpy road that led to the lake, one boy suggested that they park alongside the bushes in a slightly shaded area and take a moment to have a beer. The driver found a spot and pulled over. He removed the keys from the ignition, got out of the car, and went to the trunk. He quickly returned to the vehicle with a box of beer. The driver opened one and passed it to his friend in the back. Then he gave one to the boy's brother. He casually opened his own and took a mouthful. The driver held the beer in his mouth for a long time, as if he was savoring it. The older boys drank and talked, and then to the young boy's amazement, his brother reached back and offered him a taste. In slow motion, he saw himself extend his hand to take the brown glass bottle from his big brother. The boy smiled with delight at this acknowledgement. He took a long, sustained gulp. He thought this might be the coolest thing he'd ever done. Then he began to actually taste the vile, sour stuff. He knew this was the worst thing he had ever consumed. He wiped his mouth off on his arm, gave the bottle back to his brother, and thanked him offhandedly. When the beer was gone, the boys went for a walk down by the lake. They pointed out familiar cabins and talked about their owners. Each of them knew someone with a cabin at this lake. They stopped at the little store for some chips and pop. It became clear that not much was happening at the lake on this day, so they went back to the car to head for home. The drive back started out just like the drive to the lake. The boys should have been home long before their parents. The radio tunes beat on, and the open windows allowed the whirling winds to roar past and through the car, enabling each passenger to become lost in his own thoughts. Then the driver excitedly announced that just ahead there was a car full of girls wearing ponytails. The driver could see that the prairie highway was clear for miles, so he pulled out and sped up beside them. The girls' windows were down, and before long they were leaning out, waving and talking excitedly to the older boys. The young boy hoped the driver was keeping an eye out for the oncoming cars because the two vehicles were beside each other, traveling at exactly the same speed. The girls shouted an invitation to a party. When the boy's brother indicated he had to take his little brother home, they smiled fondly at the small boy and gestured that everyone could come. That seemed like a great idea, so the older boys pulled behind the girls and followed them into town. To the boys' amazement, they all went to the party. It was one of those parties where you forget your obligations. There were girls to dance with and interesting foods to eat. The boy sat quietly, watching everything that went on around him. He would have been content to sit there for hours. His brother waved at him from across the room, and he waved back, satisfied with his payback day. Then, as if suddenly awakened from a dream, his brother's face dissolved into panic. He looked at his watch as he rushed over to the boy. It was easy to read the worry in his brother's eyes, and the boy responded immediately to his brother's whispered instruction to hurry home with him. When they arrived at the house, their father was waiting by the window. His face, at first twisted in anger, slowly softened into relief. He wanted to know what they were thinking taking off like that. He wanted to know where they had been. Then the father sternly dismissed the boy, telling him to go to bed, and the serious discussion with his brother began. The boy was in his bed listening, but unable to really decipher the words. He glanced over at his brother's empty bed and felt a moment of pity. The day had been great. He had tasted beer, been to a party with girls, gone to the lake with older guys, and ridden in a big black Mercury. Now it was all going wrong. The boy had never seen his father so upset. He really wished he hadn't chosen the lake for his payback. He didn't think it would turn out to be such a big deal. If it hadn't been for those girls and that dumb party, they would have made it home. He turned out his light, but he couldn't sleep. When the big brother came into their room and slipped into bed, the boy desperately wanted to talk to him and tell him he was sorry. He desperately wanted to know what had happened between his big brother and their father. Something, maybe respect, or maybe fear, kept him quiet. No one in the family spoke about the incident the next day, or ever for that matter. The boy noticed that it was several Saturdays before his brother went out with his friends again. On this day, I think my husband realized that payback can be a bittersweet thing. When I asked him what he learned from this experience, he said, "Be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it." He added that those hasty why not decisions can lead you into a series of problems.